The Lord be with you. All right. We'll go ahead and get started. Father Bob, would you pray for me or pray for our time? Amen. All right. I had several things going through my mind to talk about today. As you've seen, everything in the New Testament, the Old Testament points toward the cross. Everything in the New Testament points back to the cross, just the finished work of Christ, and it's just all of it, right? There's just so much. But by request, I mentioned something about grace yesterday, and the person asked me if I could talk about that, and about grace, the grace of God in the finished work of Christ. But I used to think of grace like this. You'd always hear that this mercy and grace, that mercy is not getting what you deserve. Okay? That's God's mercy. But grace would be getting something that you don't deserve. Right? Like if I gave Father Mark over here this bottle of water because he's earned it or he deserves it. I'm going to give you that, you know. Oh, yeah. But as you'll see, we're just going to go through and read a lot of scripture here about the grace of God. That grace is substance, right? I always say this, that grace has a face, and the face of Jesus. So if you had to put words to all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, and let's give it a word, you could use the word grace. It's the grace of God. So we used to have, I don't think we had it this past year, but we every year we would have the Joel Summit with our clergy, the one that Bishop's in charge of for the diocese and the archdiocese. We'd have a Joel Summit where all the priests would come, deacons, clergy would come, and we would just sit around for 2 or 3 days with our Bibles, and we would pray, encourage each other, pray for each other, and there's usually always a theme when we would meet. And a few years ago, the theme was the grace of God. So we just spent 2 or 3 days just pouring over Scripture, learning about the grace of God, displaying the grace of God. It was just awesome. So out of that came like this working definitions, even though you can't really put a definition to it, but I really like this. So this is grace, okay? God's limitless and continual affection, acceptance, ability, and activity as a free gift in the person of Christ, flowing from His goodness to you, in you, and through you. All right? Say it one more time. Can we repeat that again? Huh? All right, so we can get this. All right, God's limitless and continual affection, acceptance, affection toward me, acceptance of me, ability, and activity as a free gift in the person of Christ, flowing from His goodness to you, in you, and through you. Now, kind of giving a definition of what grace is, there's a good biblical definition of what grace isn't, okay? It's kind of like the Orthodox theology. More of their theology is who God is not rather than who He is, right? We know He's not this, so He must be this. So this is a really good scripture in Titus. If you want to turn there, chapter 2. And I think the statement I made yesterday is that grace doesn't get me as close to the line without crossing over it as I can get, you know, right there. It gets me as far away from that line as I can be, okay, because it makes me not want to go there. Listen to this in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11, really good scriptures. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, okay? So grace instructs to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Right? So it instructs us. Grace is an instructor. So an instructor would have to be, if I'm instructing you, it would have to be a person, right? Or substance. It instructs us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, Christ-like in this present age. Okay? And y'all have heard this before. There's this out there. It's always been there. Nothing new under the sun for 2,000 years. Just the hyper grace giving me an excuse to do something. Well, grace to you. Okay? That excuse. But that's not what this says, is it? It's something that instructs us to get away from it. To deny ungodliness and ungodly desires and unrighteous, and to live Christ-like. And we'll see how grace brings Christ-likeness to us, because it is Christ-likeness. It's who He is, right? All His character, everything is the grace of God. Since we're right here over in James chapter 4, then we're going to walk through kind of from John on, just looking at the different verses of just the cool stuff about the grace of God. Book of James and John. James 4, 5. Now, do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose, that he jealously desires the Spirit, or the Spirit, actually the way it reads, the Spirit jealously desires us, which he has made to dwell in us. But God gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Okay? So we see here that God is gives a greater grace to the humble. You know, to the humble is, to me, one of the characteristics of being humble is, one, is to be teachable, you know, open to what he wants to say to me. And just, I love that, how it gives a greater grace to that. Because remember, grace instructs us. Grace has a face, and it's Jesus. And the whole context of here was people owning their stuff. All through the book of James, you know, when he starts, you know, talks about the tongue, chapter 3, they were blasting each other. They were showing a rich person would come in. They were giving him a good seat, taking the poor person, making him sit in the back of the church. Whole chapter 1 about trials and stuff that you're going through, what happens, and applying the Word, how the Word is living and active within us in James chapter 1. So he's writing to these churches and got down to chapter 4. Hey, guys, just real simply, just own your stuff, you know. Own your stuff, because grace is, I'll release grace working in you. When I was thinking about today, I'd forgotten about these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think Bishop may have touched on, there's just so much in here. Second Corinthians chapter 4, reading in verse 6. For God, who said light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts, give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Christ being, Hebrews says that Christ is the glory of God. And I talked about this when I went to Blue Jean, because you hear a lot, if you watch Sid Roth, you ever watch Sid Roth? It's Supernatural, right? Really cool thing to watch, because you get all these testimonies of healing. But over and over, you just hear all these people talking about the glory of God, you know? The glory came in the room, or there's this glory coming. And there's going to be like a thick glory that would, I mean, that's, and there's books, hundreds of books. I thought, oh my gosh, it can't be that complicated. But listen, Jesus is the glory of God. Hebrews says he's the radiance of God's glory. So the glory of God has come in Christ who lives in you. We carry the glory of God, right? And I think Bishop said this the other day, and he says this to us all the time. We're sitting around waiting on God to show up. He's waiting on us, because we carry the glory, right? Romans chapter 8 talks about waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. The whole earth is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, or for them to come forth in who they are, right? So, but here's what he says. Here's when I'm in 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not ourselves. We're clay pots, crack pots, right? We're all crack pots. We're afflicted in every way. We're not crushed. We're perplexed, not despairing. We're persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, not destroyed. And we always carry about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested or made real in our flesh. So, as you see, we're going to talk about the grace of God coming to us, His ability, His activity coming to us, that we carry within us, I love this, the dying of Jesus, right? What did He die to? We read that yesterday. He died to sin, right? And made us the righteousness of God in Him. So we're constantly carrying about in our body the death of Jesus, meaning that we died with Him. So He's always organizing our circumstances to put to death something in us so that the life of Jesus can come through us. That's what giving a greater grace is all about. So when I own that, oh Lord, you know, I confess, I repent of this, trying to do it on my own. I just receive Your grace now. I receive Your ability in this thing. It says He not only gives grace, but He gives a greater grace. So those things Bishop's talking about, you know, when just our daily lives, we get stuck in traffic or, you know, things aren't going our way, and we're trying to, you know, fussing and griping about it and not really realizing what's going on is that the dying of Jesus is going on within us. He's trying to put that to death so that He can give us life, so His life can come forth, okay? That doesn't mean that you're going to respond perfectly to everything, but the other day I did a house blessing for these people, and TC had called, and she wanted me to meet her. They were going to the Mexican restaurant out there. I was coming in from north of town, Valley Grande, and had to give her something. I was running kind of late to my Bible study, and so we pulled up right at the same time. And that may not mean much to you, but I'm just fascinated by that. The more I see it, how God orchestrates us, how He orchestrates our lives to put us in the right place at the right time for His glory, right? And when you're not even thinking about it, but if you're trusting Him, okay. That's just a little side issue, but that just fascinates me. All right, let's go to the book of John, John chapter 1. So we're learning about being in Christ and how the life of Christ is squeezed out of us, right? That's how God squeezes it out of us, just through life. Through marriage, through having children, you know, our work, everything. And just, you think that like a tube of toothpaste, you're constantly being squeezed so that life can come out. Okay. All right. John chapter 1. And we'll try to pay attention as we go through the scripture, all the things that grace is. Okay. Again, grace has a face. It's Jesus. Just think of all the attributes of who He is. All the spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ is grace. Okay? All right, John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. He was full of grace and truth. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, 'This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me. And of His fullness you have all received.'" All right? We received His fullness. Then it says, grace upon grace. Grace, and that literally means like waves coming. Grace upon grace. Because we have already received His fullness. There's nothing else I can receive, right? And I've received the grace of God. All that He is now in me, and I'm full. Okay? And grace comes to me constantly as grace upon grace. You know, and when I really believe this, someone said, Bishop may have said it the other day, or someone, you know, when you're really trying, you know, and you're really trying to walk in the Spirit, walking by the power of the Spirit, there's a real grace on you when you mess up, right? Because your heart is to do the right thing. Your heart is to experience His fullness, okay? Total difference between that and just, you know, having an attitude or whatever. But just think about that. Waves of grace always coming to you. His ability, His activity, His acceptance of you, right? His affection for you. That's grace. Just pouring over you. Even right now as I speak, all of that's just kind of pouring over you. All right. One place in Acts, there's a bunch of places in Acts about the grace of God. For lack of time, we're just going to go to one place, Acts 6. This is just about Stephen, verse 8. We know what happened to him. And Stephen, listen to this, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So the grace was performing signs and wonders. The ability of God, the power of God there. He was a man full of grace. Okay. Now Romans. Romans is a really good one. I have to be careful that we don't get bogged down in here because there's so much good stuff. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. Jesus, Spirit of holiness. There's your holiness, right? Through whom we have received grace. Received grace from Jesus and apostleship in order to bring about the obedience of faith. Right? Again, substance. Grace is given to me, the ability of God. He gave him the ability of God as an apostle to bring about this effect called grace. Okay. Romans chapter 5. And it really helps me because even doing like things I'm doing now, I can have words, but my thoughts, it's hard to get. I was telling y'all this, they just daily headaches. You can't hardly get your thoughts together, you know. So I have to trust in the grace of God. So what I do is when I do that, I'll say, God, I receive your grace to do this. When I have to get up and go to, you know, go to work every day, and I have two classes that I teach first thing in the morning, you know, and I don't even want to get out of bed, that's my prayer every day. And that's what I'm saying is, Jesus, give me your life, your ability. I'll say, I receive the grace to do this. And I get up and go do it. Okay. So Romans 5, this is really good, 5:1. I was thinking today, if I was only given, you know, go to prison, you can take out four chapters in the Bible to take with you, right? I would do Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. Or, I mean, probably Ephesians too, but anyway. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that is you are at peace with God because you're in Christ. That's a really good thing because the enemy will come to us making us think that we're not at peace with God or there's something between us and Him. No, you are now, because you're in Christ, you are at peace with God. There's a peace treaty between you and Him. You're not His enemy, okay? You're justified just as if I'd never sinned. Through whom, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have obtained, or we hold, or we have access, is what that word means. We have total access, our introduction, obtain in our introduction, by faith, into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And that word stand there is like like a something that like a tomato basket that holds up the plant. Okay? And that tomato plant is planted there. You are planted in the grace of God. Just think of yourself sitting where you are and you're planted, you're buried down to here. You're buried in the grace of God. You're buried in all that he is. You've been placed there. Being placed in Christ, his ability, his activity, everything about what grace is, that's where you are. You're at peace with God, and you're planted right in the middle of this thing. All right. And 5, let's see. Verse 17. That's a really good one. For if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. So how do I reign in life? I learn to be a good receiver, right? I learn to receive the grace of God, the ability of God. That's how I reign. And righteousness, we've talked about that, Bishop did. Righteousness, doing the right thing, Christ-likeness is actually a gift to us. Right? So we're to receive that. So if you want to reign in life in Christ, learn to be a good receiver of the grace of God, of the ability of God. Right? Not a great achiever, but a great receiver. Okay? Romans chapter 12. I really like this one. Romans chapter 12. Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I thought she was going to say that again. All right, verse 6. Now, it's talking about, of course, renewing the mind. Don't be transformed to this world. And then he says, verse 3, for through the grace given to me, Romans 12, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And that word measure of faith means you have the same measure, right? If we measure it out to the top, everybody has the same measure, okay? It's not that I have this and you have that or Sally has more than I do. No, same measure of faith. Because here's a really cool thing about Jesus. Galatians 2:20, when it says, I live by faith in the Son of God, Actually, the way it's written is, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It means that I am in union with His faith. You want to know how much faith you got? How much does Jesus have? That's the faith you have. You're in union with that. Right? When we can't believe, He can. Isn't that cool? Think of your input. Because that's the measure of faith that you have, His faith. Just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly, a prophecy according to his proportion of faith. Okay, so the grace of God, ability, gives you gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was given by the grace of God. Okay. That means I can't just, make them up. Or when I have to flow in a gift, you're flowing in the gift by the ability and by the power of God. It's the grace of God given to you. So if God has given you a gift, He's given you ability to flow in that gift by His life. Okay? When you think I can't, you're right. You can't. He can. Okay? You just have to be available. Show up. Get up. Do it. I receive. So when you're ever that in that, if you're praying for someone, just pray this little prayer. Lord, I receive your ability. I receive the grace for this. I receive the grace to give words, or I receive the grace to give word of knowledge, whatever it is, or hospitality, all these things that it talks about. I don't think, Scripture gives us a good idea, but I think there's more gifts that's not even mentioned in here, right? Because they're coming from Him. I mean, the universe couldn't hold it all. 1 Corinthians 3:10. Read 9 so to flow together. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God which has been given to me, like a wise master builder, I lay a foundation and another's building upon it. Okay, to them. By the grace of God, I came to you and I laid a foundation for you. Okay? You can just mark these. This is one of my favorite ones in 1 Corinthians 15. Nine and ten. It says, for I am the least of all apostles. Like Paul said, he's the least of all saints in Ephesians chapter 3. Here he's saying, I'm the least of all apostles. And I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. I labored more than all of them, yet it wasn't me. It was grace of God within me. Okay? So grace is substance. It was the grace of God in him that was working through him, or the life of Christ in him. Again, all that he is, putting in a word, grace. Grace labored through me. Now, it wasn't me. What he's saying, it was grace. And I am, and you are what you are, by the grace of God. Okay? Meaning that you can never deserve it or earn it. Right? He thought himself, I'm the worst one you could pick on your team. Like, you ever get picked last on the team before? That was just, you know, in grammar school, that was a pretty humiliating thing because people would brag you and stuff if you got picked last. Right? But Paul saw himself as, I'm the worst person you could have possibly picked for this. But you know, it's not about me. It's about the grace of God. It's about you. You know? All right. 2 Corinthians 1:12. And some of these we'll get, I'm just going to kind of go through them and read them. I'll just give you all the verses that talk about grace. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world. We conducted ourselves godly and holy in your presence, is what he said. And all that was the grace given to us. Jesus, his holiness, right? His godliness working through me. The grace of God. All right. 2 Corinthians 9:8, which is like, this is the best one ever. If you want to circle one, do this, get this one, get this in you. Write it on your walls. It says, and God is able, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able. That word able is the word dunamis, or where we get power, dynamite from. His dynamite power. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good work. All grace, has that word, is superabounded to you, that you have all sufficiency, every bit of it, not lacking anything in everything that you do. So, it just kind of takes away all of our excuses, doesn't it? You are equipped in everything you do by the power, the grace of God. Whatever he's called you to do, you have the grace to do it. Okay, and I think Bishop used the illustration one time of like your phone, all these apps. You know, you got tons of apps, right? That's just all the apps is right here called grace. So whatever you're facing, you already have the app to do it. The presence of God, right? That's just, isn't that a great one? We have having all sufficiency in every single thing. You already have it in Christ. Abundance for every good work. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12. 9, I think you may have read this earlier today. Starting in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. That's not good. To keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave. And then he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Fully sufficient. That means full. For power, my power is perfected in your weakness. Then most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And when Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, he said, my power is sufficient for you. Right? Because this is one of those times where the dying of Jesus is in you and the life of Jesus is coming forth in this weakness. Okay? Because in the weakness is where we experience the presence of Christ or his power. Okay? So he's always throwing us in situations where where our weakness is exposed so that his life can come forth. You know, when Paul in this thing, he said, please remove this thing, this tormentor I have. And like, nah, my grace is sufficient for you here. You know, and then he said, oh, good. I'll start boasting about my weaknesses so that I can experience your power. All right. There's one, if you want to mark this one, Galatians 1:6. We're going to kind of skip over that one. Kind of going to run out of time here. But Ephesians, really some good ones here. Chapter 1. And if you notice all that, when Paul's writing the letters, just about in every single one of them, if you go back and read them, he starts it off with grace to you and peace from God our Father. And that's just not like this, you know, salutation, just, hey, how are you? You know, good to see you. It's like, when he was speaking that, they believed, you know, as Jewish people, when you spoke a blessing, you were speaking life. So what Paul was doing is, hey, God's grace to you, everything that it is, and his peace to you, right? I think just about every single one of his letters were like that. Verse 3 of Ephesians 1, the blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. All of that, everything in here, the redemption, forgiveness, all that predest, all that stuff is grace. And it's to you. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon you. Just dump trucks. What a friend of mine uses all the time. Just poured it on you. Everything is the grace of God. I like that word, lavished. Familiar ones, Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together in Christ. That word with is actually in. He made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace to you in kindness or in the realm of kindness toward us, in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. And I read one early manuscript that word is actually in grace. So that's true too. By grace you're saved, in grace you're saved. You are saved to something, right? To experience all the riches of God, everything that he has in kindness, so you can experience that. So that is all the grace of God. Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. That he's steward, right? He's steward, so do you. We steward the grace of God. Jump down to verse 6. To be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Again, we have the power of God and grace. To me, the very least of all saints, grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. He's like, I'm a minister. I steward this, but I'm a minister by the grace of God. That God given me the grace to be a minister. Okay? That's where your anointing comes from. It's from him. you're all anointed ministers, right? If you're actually called into the ministry, the anointing comes from Him, the grace of God. You already have it. Okay? All right. We're going to jump from here. All right. Philippians chapter 1. Just real quick. We're going to have it here. All right. Starting in verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Great promise there, isn't it? For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are now all partakers of grace with me. Okay? So hopefully that'll... I just kind of went through those real fast. So you can go back and read them, go back and look at them, to know that that grace has a face, and it's Jesus. Everything that He is and He has given to you is the grace of God. Okay? And so whatever area in your life where you really, you may get up or you may struggle, just start saying, Lord, I receive your ability to do this. I receive your grace. If I got to, you know, go pray for somebody at the altar rail, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. Don't worry about it. You already have the grace of God to do that. You have the ability of God to do that. Or wherever you're called to work, or in your church, or whatever it is, right? When you just feel like you're worn out and you're too tired, that's my prayer. Lord, I'm just really exhausted now, you know, from battling this thing every day, this pain every day. But God, I receive your grace to do this. I receive your ability, your activity, right? Your acceptance of me and your affection toward me. All of that. All of that's a grace. Grace is substance, right? Amen. We'll stop there. I know we got to get ready for noonday.